Lord, that's our prayer. That's our hope this morning. God, challenge us, inspire us. Lord, help us to hear from you today. Lord, I pray for every person that's discouraged, worried, beaten down by the cares of this world. I pray you would do amazing things in our lives today as we seek to live by faith and to have you do something in our hearts that we cannot do ourselves. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, it is so good to see you. Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. Good, 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 good. I had 102 temperature yesterday, but I am feeling good today. I'm feeling real good. I don't know what I said at the 9 o'clock service, but I'm really feeling good right now. So I don't know. Some drugs are kicking in. Somebody prayed for me. I don't know what's going on, man. Maybe it's the spirit. I don't know. But I'm feeling good now. Hey, I wanted to let you know, next week, I'm really excited about this. Never give up. We're kicking off a brand new teaching series. It's called What to Do When Life Beats You Up. And we're going to have a great time. It's going to be kicking off next week. It'll be a three-week series. It would be a fantastic week to bring a friend. And I am really, really, really excited about this sermon series, if I can just say it that way. I mean, maybe the most I've ever been about a sermon series. I mean, I am really looking forward to this. So it's going to be a great week. I hope you're going to be here and bring some friends. If you need to be encouraged and, you know, you're facing, you know, really big opposition and adversity in your life, then next week is for you, man. Definitely. So looking forward to that. Hey, today we want to pause for just a moment and talk about some things God is doing in our church. And we have so many new people. Our church has grown like 100 people just in the last couple of months. So it's a good reminder to me, and I was talking with our leadership about this, and we just felt like we needed to kind of review a couple of things about where we're at in regards to our future facility. Many of you are new. You may not know anything about that. Others of you have been here for a while, and you're excited, and you're looking forward to that. You're dialed in, and maybe you just need to be encouraged a little bit in what we're calling the REACH Project. The REACH Project is our building project that we're involved in to help us secure our own facility. We don't know exactly where that's going to be or the exact timing or all the specific details, but we are working very diligently to find our own facility. We love meeting here at Liberty. This is a great place, but we also know God has some really big plans for our church in the future, and we need to have our own place. And so in November, we ask all of our attenders to prayerfully make a two-year pledge commitment over and above our normal tithes and offerings to the REACH Project, like some special funds that we would give to help us find our own facility. We made a $400,000 was the amount of pledges that we made, $400,000 over 2 years. And then we've already brought in $100,000 in cash that's already come in the last 2 months. So we're off to a great start and really, really are thrilled about what we're seeing already. But I wanted to just bring a word of encouragement for every person that's in the middle of that pledge, trying to make that commitment, keep that commitment. And also, if you're new today, there's a packet underneath your chair. We would love for you to join our team and to make a pledge over the next 2 years, what you would want to give above and beyond your normal tithe to the building project, to the REACH Project. There's all kinds of brochures and all kinds of cool, slicky stuff there in that folder that can tell you all about what we're doing. But I love building projects. I've done three of them. And I love them because they always teach us to live by faith. Gina and I, our faith is being stretched in the REACH Project, big time. I've talked to many of you. Your faith is being stretched. And God does great things in our lives when our faith is being stretched. And that's why today I wanted to bring a word from Genesis 17. Genesis 17 is a great chapter about having your faith stretched a little bit. Abram is the main character. God has given Abram a promise that he's going to have a child, the child of promise. But the problem is that Abram is 99 years old, and he hasn't had the child that God has promised him. Furthermore, his wife, Sarah, she's 90. She's not just a spring chicken, you know? She's 90 years old, and God's given them this promise they're going to have this kid. And, man, things aren't working out so well. You know, sometimes you see where God is leading you, but you're not sure how you're going to get there. And that's exactly what we see in the 17th chapter of Genesis. I've called this message Up the Ante because It's related to how we raise the stakes in our faith. The more confident that we are, the more that we raise the stakes. The more confident that we are in our God. And I want to give you four specific principles, faith principles to live by. And by the way, you can apply these to any area of your life. Not just your REACH project, but this is true in your family and in your finances and in your job and in your relationships and everywhere else. There's four very powerful things we need to know. And it's interesting that this is the name chapter. I like to call it the name chapter, Genesis 17. We're going to see so many things from the names, okay? So I'll just leave it at that, and the chapter will kind of unfold. But notice the names. The first name is El Shaddai. Genesis 17, 1 and 2. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless, and then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." And that word El Shaddai, or "I am the God Almighty," is found there in verse 1. And it's the first time that God is called El Shaddai. Throughout the Hebrew scripture, God is referred to by many different names. And the Hebrew people would give names to God based on his characters and his virtues and his different aspects. And this word El Shaddai means God is stronger. He's the Lord God Almighty. It means God's powerful. God's bigger than any problem that we have. God is bigger than any difficulty. God is bigger than any struggle that we may have. God says, "Listen, Abram, you're going to have a child because I am El Shaddai. I am the Lord God Almighty. I am stronger." Abraham and Sarah had fertility problems, and they didn't know what to do, but God was El Shaddai. Abram was 99 years old, but God was El Shaddai. Sarah was 90 years old, but God was El Shaddai. I don't know what you're facing today, but I want to remind you, God is El Shaddai. He's stronger. He is greater. He is the Almighty God. There is none like him. And all throughout chapter 17, 12 times, the phrase, "I will, I will, I will," is used. And I love that phrase because when God says he's going to do something, it happens. God's not just a smack talker, right? God doesn't just talk noise. Man, he delivers when he says it's going to happen. Now, it didn't happen exactly in the time frame that Abram and Sarah had hoped for, but that didn't make God any less God or God any less powerful. He was El Shaddai, and he's about to show up in a huge way here. And I don't want to ruin the end of the story, but if you've ever read a book and you've picked it up and read the last chapter first, or you've read the back cover where it tells you all the stuff that's going to happen, and then you read the book, it kind of, you know, deflates the meaning and the whole journey that you go on through the whole story, right? Well, Abram didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, he didn't have the privilege of reading the back of the book. All that he knew was that God had given him this promise. "Abram, you're going to be the father of a great nation. You're going to have many, many children. You're going to have many descendants. I'm going to bless you abundantly, and I'm going to do great things in your life." But Abram's looking around going, "God, you better do something soon because I'm just getting older." And God reminds him, "I am El Shaddai." God is bigger than any problems. Impossible is not in the vocabulary of God. Isn't that great? It may be in your vocabulary. It may be in our vocabulary. But impossible is not in the vocabulary of God, because there's nothing too hard for him. And when we serve him and follow him, he does amazing things in our lives. Isn't that great? That's how we're going to get into this building, you know. We serve El Shaddai. You know, we're still a small church. Our church is growing a lot. You know, we've been averaging over 400 people per weekend, which is about 100 or 150 people more than where we were this time last year. And we're thankful for that. But we're still a small church in a lot of ways. But you know what? We're not inhibited by that. You know, we have a big vision, even though we're a small church. We believe God for great things. And we know God has some amazing things in store for us in the days to come. And we're excited about that. You know, I remember just a few years ago when we were first starting the church and we had the five people in my living room that we were literally so poor. We had no money. I wouldn't even buy office supplies. This is how cheap that I was. I would go into restaurants and businesses and I would like take their pens and stuff because I was just too cheap to go buy any pens. Isn't that pathetic? Isn't that funny? Two of you thought that was funny. I thought that was really funny. That's where we've come from, right? I mean, we're talking about five people meeting in Pastor Ryan's living room a couple of years ago, you know? I'm talking about stealing pens from people, you know? That's where we've come from. But listen, great things start small. And when we're faithful to God with the little things, then God gives us so much more. So the first thing is God is bigger than your problems. So here's the second thing. Check this out. God blesses faithfulness. God blesses faithfulness. Now you could say, well, we serve such a big God, so does that mean that we just sit around and don't have to do anything? No, actually it's quite the opposite. It's kind of like two pedals of a bike. You know, God initiates, God calls, God leads. He pushes that first foot forward, but we got a responsibility too. And the responsibility that God gave Abram, he said, now you listen, you're going to have this child, and I know it's going to freak you out to see your 90-year-old wife pregnant, but I would freak anybody out, right? I have a 91-year-old grandmother, you know, and just the thought of, anyway, I won't go there, but God said to Abram, look, there's something that you need to do, and I'm going to bless you, and you're going to conceive and all that, but Abram, this is what you're to do. You're to circumcise everybody in the household, the servants, the descendants, the children, yourself, everybody that, I mean, every male that moves, circumcise them, you know? And that's what we see in Genesis 17, 9 through 11. God said, as for you, you must keep my covenant, and you and your descendants after you for all generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant that you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. And you are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And so God had maybe kind of an interesting way of expressing this relationship, but he said the way that you keep the covenant is through circumcision. In other words, there's some things that I'm going to do, Abram, but there's some other things that you need to do. And the things that you need to do is you need to circumcise everybody. And so in verse 23, it says, on that very day, Abram took his son Ishmael and all those in his household, or brought with money, and every male in the household, and circumcised them as God had told him. And Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. So he didn't get off the hook either. I mean, that sounds painful, 99 years old getting circumcised, you know. But Abram was serious about following the Lord. And listen, the life of faith is filled with two powerful understandings. God does what God does, and I do what God leads me to do. I have responsibility. There's things that I need to take care of. At the same time, I'm trusting and believing in God. That's what our whole building project is about. Many of you have made pledges, you know, to this project that are beyond what you believe that you could actually give. And God is opening up the door. God is providing. God is opening up opportunities that you did not even see before, because God is blessing your faithfulness. In fact, we've got a great story right now that I want to share with you from a couple of our church members. Let's just give a warm Edge Church welcome to the Pruders. You guys come on out here. Come sit right here. Welcome to my table. Wade, have a seat. This is Wade and Margie. They've been coming to the church just a few months. New guys. Very new. Tell us a little bit about, you guys have a great story, and I get fired up about it every time I hear it, but share with us about how God has been providing for you guys in regards to fulfilling the commitment to the REACH project that you guys have been feeling God's leadership in.
Shortly after we started to come to the Edge, we learned about the REACH project, and we were asked to be a part of a leadership event, and we were asked to pray about giving above and beyond our tithe, and just kind of think about how we can stretch ourselves and give to the building fund. It's important that this church has one. So I prayed about it, and Wade and I never really talked that much about it. But I'm the budgeter in our family, so I kind of figured out where we could take from and what we could cut out. I don't know, where we're going to come up with this amount. And so we were at the leadership event, and I knew the number that we could afford and the number that was going to stretch us quite a bit. So we're sitting at the table, and he had taken a sugar packet, and he'd ripped off the top and put the sugar in his coffee, and he'd written on this sugar packet a number. And I looked at him, and I leaned over, and I said, there's a difference between being generous and being stupid, and that's stupid. And I took the sugar packet. I didn't call him stupid. I just said that the number was stupid. So I took the sugar packet, and I wadded it up, and I threw it on the table, and then we went back to the original amount that I had budgeted, and we were fine with it. So go on our way. So how did you come up with that number?
Tell us. What was it, stupid or not? Tell us.
Apparently it was. I always listen to my wife. For me, the number in my head was like, we tithe. But I felt like this was a stretch, and we were asked for a two-year commitment. So when I was doing the math in my head, I don't know the numbers we do, but it didn't seem like such a stupid number. But it did feel like a stretch. I guess I just know in my past or our past, he's always taken care of us. And, you know, I really believe in what the church does and what we've been through so far here. And I thought it was a pretty smart number. And so anyway, that's where I came from, my number.
So the day of the event, I had received in the mail a little slip that you get from the postmaster that says you have a certified letter. And that's never good when you get one of those things. But they don't tell you who it's from. They don't tell you what it's about. But you can't pick it up till the next day because the postmaster has your letter. So the next morning, I'd gone to the post office to pick up this certified letter. And when I picked it up, it was from my past employer. Now, I left my career 8 years ago to be a stay-at-home mom, so I had not worked for this company in 8 years. And I opened the letter, and the amount of the check was the difference between the amount that we had pledged and the stupid number. So,
actually, it was a little bit more, wasn't it?
It was like $38.07 more than, yeah. So he gave us, you know, like a free dinner or something like that. So so I went to the car, and I called Pastor Ryan, and I was bawling. And
You were a wreck.
I was a wreck, yeah. But I can't believe he even understood anything I said. But anyway, I had to share because it was some money that we had no idea was coming to us. It was money that, sure, we could have used for a multitude of other things. But I felt in God's perfect timing, it was exactly what we were supposed to do with that money. And something else is that we had moved twice in that year. That check was sent to two addresses ago, so it took weeks for it to get to us. And had it come when it was supposed to, we could have used it as a down payment on our house or, I don't know, something else. But it wasn't going to go to the Reach Project, I guarantee you that. So, and had it come the day of the event, it may not have been is sacrificial in our giving. We may not have had as much faith in our giving, you know. So we really.
The timing of the whole thing was incredible.
Right.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, we talked about the blessings. Obviously, God has really blessed you guys in a great way, your faithfulness. But talk to us a little bit about some of the sacrifice, too. Because sometimes it's hard to follow through with, you know, with that commitment as well. So what's God been teaching you guys?
Well, some of the sacrifices, you want to say this? Okay, I'll answer this one. Some of the sacrifices that we made is we took our children out of extracurricular activities after school. We cut out Chick-fil-A. That was a big one. And vacations. So there was a lot of sacrifices. But I'm not going to say it's all been great since we gave that money. We've had some unexpected medical expenses that have come up, but that would have been... It would have been nice for us to have that money to be able to cover those expenses. But we know, based on our past and just based on God showing up and showing off in this moment, he's got us covered. He's going to take care of us. And we don't need anything that we don't already have. He's going to take care of us. So,
isn't that amazing, guys? Fantastic. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, guys. Fantastic. Well, it's always good to hear a great story with a little flesh on the bones, isn't it? And I know God's going to take care of every one of you guys' needs there. So it's going to be great to see, isn't it? So God blesses our faithfulness. Man, when we take those courageous acts of faith, God blesses that. He shows up in an amazing way. And then also, God doesn't want us to settle for Plan B. You know, God doesn't want us to settle. God's plan doesn't settle. Now notice this in verse 15. God had also said to Abram, as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai, but you're to call her Sarah. And I will bless her and surely give you a son by her. And I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. King of peoples will come from her. Verse 15. Abram fell down, face down. He laughed and he said to himself, will a son be born of a man 100 years old? I mean, Abram is like laughing. He's falling on his face. You know, this is hilarious. Ha, 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 ha. Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abram said to God, if only Ishmael may be the one that lives under your blessings. You see, if you go back to Genesis 16, Abram and Sarah gave up on God's A plan. They gave up on what God had told them to do. God, you're not delivering. God, you're not coming through, so I'm going to go just force this thing to happen. And so Sarah, or Sarai, however you want to call her, comes up with this great plan. Abram, why don't you sleep with my servant, Hagar? She's 25, she's young and hot, you know, she's very fertile. Why don't you just have a little relationship with her on the side? In fact, in the ancient world, one of the most disgraceful things was to not have an heir, to not have a child. Women didn't do a lot of other things in biblical times, in ancient times, besides raise children. So to not have a child was a great embarrassment. And so it was common practice, it was a cultural practice, that if you couldn't have a child, that you would use a kind of a surrogate, or you'd use a servant of some sort. But that wasn't what God had said. God was very specific. In fact, in chapter 15, and again here in chapter 17, God says, you will have a son by your wife. You'll have a son by Sarah. God couldn't have made it any clearer. But when things weren't working out, they tried to settle for the B plan rather than waiting on God for the A plan. You know, sometimes we get ahead of God. We start trying to force our own way. We get impatient. Things are not working out like we had hoped. So I'm going to go kick this door open rather than waiting on the Lord. And had Abram and Sarah waited on the Lord, things would have gone so much better for them. We're going to see this as a massive conflict in their family to have Ishmael and his mother Hagar, and Sarah ends up hating and despising her servant because she had a baby and she couldn't, and there was all kinds of drama and conflict. You think an episode of The Bachelor's got drama? You ought to see this household, man. Women trying to kill each other and all kinds of stuff. When you don't follow the plan of God and get ahead of God and force your own will and do your own thing, it always is a recipe for destruction and for disaster. And Sarah would become the great-grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, she was going to be the mother or the mother of nations. Sarai means my princess. Sarah means mother of nations. And so Sarai came up with this Hagar plan, but that wasn't God's plan. So the question we have to ask ourselves as we live by faith is, are we having God's vision for our life, or are we just making stuff up, you know? Are we staying true to what God has purposed and called us to do? If you're single, you may think, man, I want to date a Christian. I want to marry a Christian, but no Christian people are asking me out. So I'll just go out with whoever, right? I'll just kind of go out with, you know, if the Christian guys aren't calling, I'll go out with the non-Christian guys, you know, whatever. Sometimes we get ahead of God. We're not patient. We try to force our will in our way, and we always get into trouble when we do that. So God's plan doesn't settle. Now, it's interesting that Abram actually tries to talk God in to making Ishmael the child of promise. Isn't this amazing? In verse 15 to 18, he says, and Abram said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. In other words, God, listen, man, let's just do what's easy. We've already got Ishmael. He's already been born to Hagar. And you know, Sarah's so old, and you know, this would just be a lot better if we could just kind of divert the plan a little bit. He's trying to talk God out of the plan that God gave him to start with. This was God's idea in the beginning. Sometimes we do that, don't we? Maybe you've been trying to force your will on God. Maybe you've even been trying to talk God into your plan for your life rather than trying to figure out what God wants you to do. But God's plan doesn't settle. Ishmael is the only one in this chapter that doesn't get a new name. Abram gets a new name. He's going to be the father of many nations. Sarai gets a new name. She's going to be the mother of many nations. El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, is the first time we see his name referenced as El Shaddai in chapter 17. Isaac is the child of promise. We're going to see that in a minute. That's a new name. But Ishmael is the only person that doesn't get a new name. And Ishmael is one that represents his own strength. And when we force things and take matters into our own hands, we really become more like Ishmael. And they had tried their plan and it didn't work. And maybe you're looking at your life. You know, maybe you can see some times or some periods in your life, or maybe today, where you have been frustrated waiting on God and you force your will rather than waiting on God's will, and you see how that's messed things up, and you're saying today, man, I need to get on God's wavelength for what's going on, not just trying to make stuff up myself. So God's plan doesn't settle. Here's the fourth thing. This is Isaac. God finishes what he starts. God finishes what he starts. Man, when God says, you're going to have a child, you're going to have a child. When God says, Edge Church, raise money for a building, God's going to provide a building. God finishes what he starts. Notice with me in chapter 17 again, God also said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai, but Sarah, and I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her, and I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations, kings of peoples, and will come from her. And Abram fell face down and he laughed and he said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah will she have a child at the age of 90? But interestingly enough, in chapter 21, God wasn't kidding. He is El Shaddai. Look at this in verse 1 of chapter 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, and he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. And Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abram in his old age at the very time God had promised him. And Abram gave the name Isaac to the son of Sarah that was born to him. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abram circumcised him, and God commanded him, as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. So the child of promise that seemed so far-fetched and so crazy came to fruition. It just took a little bit longer than what they had originally thought, right? God always finishes what he starts. God has great plans for the Edge Church. In fact, we're excited. We're about to surpass over 500 people committing their lives to Jesus Christ in the history of our church. Is that not amazing? Just in the next few months, we're like that close. Yep. We baptized over 150 people. All of our ministries are growing and expanding, and we're excited about our student ministry. You know, Wednesday night, we had almost 50 people at our student ministry. It was our very first Wednesday night big gathering type deal, and we had tons and tons of kids. God is at work. God's doing amazing things. God's going to lead us. God's going to direct us. It's going to be exciting to see. And so our challenge this morning is to pray, to give, and to believe God for great things as a local church. And I want to encourage you to take that packet home with you underneath your seat if you haven't had a chance to think about that, maybe to make a 2-year commitment above and beyond your normal giving to help us get into this facility and to accomplish great things for God. Let's just bow for a word of prayer for just a moment. God, we come before you this morning thanking you that you are a great God. A God that is able to do way, way more than what we think is even possible, God. We thank you for not being a God that is filled and consumed with little things, but a God that sees big things. And that's our desire this morning, God, is to be a part of what you're doing. And so we pray for the Reach Project. We pray for the Edge Church that we would accomplish, that we would be faithful to fulfill the callings that you have for us as a local body. And maybe this morning while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you've never met the God of Abram. Maybe you've never met the God El Shaddai. You've never met this great God. But this morning God has spoken to your heart and you want to open your life to him and you want him to come in and to be the leader and the Lord of your life. I want to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. A prayer of commitment. One that will take courage. But one that's going to be rewarding. One that's going to be powerful and life-altering and life-changing. And it's one that God's going to do a great work in your life. And I want to lead you in that prayer in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to pray for every person that's here today that needs courage and faith to follow the plans that God has put into their heart. Could I just pray for you? Would you just raise your hand this morning? Ryan, pray for me right here on the front. Yeah, thank you on the side and the back. Yeah, right over here. Yeah, thank you. Right here on the side. Yeah, the back, the front. Yeah, amen. I want to pray for every person here today. Right over here in the back. Yes, I see your hand. God, for every person today that wants to live a life of courageous faith, I pray that you would fill this room with an unbelievable amount of belief and confidence in you as you go before us, God, and do great and amazing things. Help us to be faithful, to follow you, and whatever you say, as crazy as it may sound. And we give you thanks for that this morning as well. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are still closed, maybe today you'd like to open your heart to the God of Abram, the God El Shaddai, the God that wants to come into your life and make you a new person and give you a hope and give you a future. Would you like to open your heart to him? Would you just raise your hand this morning if you'd say, man, I want to invite the Lord into my life. I need the Lord in my heart. Just pray this prayer with me this morning. God, please forgive me of my sins. Make me a new person. I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ and all that he's done for me. And we pray this all in his name. Amen. Fight.